Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This podcast is sponsored by eHarmony, the dating app that helps people find genuine connection. Let's be honest, the days of dating only one person at a time feel a little old school. In their recent Dating Diaries report, eHarmony found that 45% of Gen Z singles are comfortable dating more than one person at the same time. But it's a balance, right? Have you ever spread yourself too thin? Well, dating multiple people at the same time is fine while you're honest about it. It can be exhausting constantly searching for that special connection with someone. eHarmony can help you find that genuine connection by helping you find someone who gets you, so you don't have to throw quite so many lines out there. Their well-rounded personality quiz and expansive profiles help to show the real you and can lead to that genuine connection you've been searching for. So join the dating app that gets to know their users better so they can match better and see for yourself. Get someone who gets you. Start a conversation on eHarmony today.
Well, JL Coven is joining us. We're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game, which is always fun, and we'll do it live, all from Dallas. First, let me tell you about Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on motorcycle and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you if you were with Geico. So get with Geico and save even more. Never been a better time to switch over to Geico. Save the extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. That's geico.com.
Coming to Live by Live Thursday, July 30th, Darius Rucker's Darius and Friends virtual concert benefiting St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Catch an exclusive one-time-only performance by Darius Rucker live from the Grand Ole Opry stage featuring guest appearances by Clint Black and Tracy Lawrence. All proceeds from the show benefit St. Jude, so get your tickets today at livexlive.com/Darius and tune in July 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern only on Live by Live.
Live from the Addison Improv in Dallas, Texas, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian J.L. Coven. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, person, man, woman, camera, TV, Adam Carolla!
Thank you, man. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for coming out. I do appreciate it with all that's going on these days. We'll bring up the gang in a second. I just want to talk a little bit at the top. I've been having a nice time in your town. Well, hold the applause. I got to say, I passed the Kennedy Memorial today. Not the height of architecture. I don't know what it is. It's like somebody said, well, Kennedy was a great man. We need something historical to represent him. How about a handicap stall at a bus station? Like, isn't that essentially what the monument looks like? It looks like, do we have a... You have a picture of that thing, Max Pata? We can, during the lights, bring the lights down a little. That's a handicap stall, right? Like, you could tell which one of your coworkers was taking a shit. You'd be like, oh, yeah, Steve always wears Keds on Monday, so that's a tell. I don't know what this says about a man's greatness. It just basically says we like to tilt up slabs of concrete here in Dallas. I don't know. Maybe something out of bronze, you know, on a horse. Although, on the other hand, good luck tearing this shit down, Black Lives Matter. Like, you're never... Good luck. You need like one of those crews that takes down casinos in Vegas. They need like a 7-week head start and a whole team and like cherry pickers and guys with roto hammers. You'd have to cordon off the whole block. Like, there's no way an angry mob is ever going to get to your memorial when your memorial is literally just a tilt-up. Like, this is the same construction they used to make a Costco. You understand? It's poured in place concrete. They're called tilt-ups. They form them and pour them. This thing needs a fucking tin roof and an old lady handing out samples in front of it. Got one handicap parking, couple of larks so the fat people could get around. Speaking of that, there is more scooters per capita in this town than even... I'm from L.A., and we don't have this many scooters. I'm out, I don't know, where's the hotel, Max Pata? 15 miles over that way? Like, we're kind of in Dallas.
Yeah, we're like in the downtown.
We're in like downtown, but everybody is on a scooter, and it's like every 15-year-old kid is fat and on a scooter, and now there's probably going to be some app that is connected to Grubhub where it's called We Carry You to Your Scooter. Tired of walking to your own scooter, fat ass? You now can ride somebody to your scooter. They will. We have volunteer firemen who are off duty who will carry you to your scooter and place you on it. Speaking of being lazy, I had about like the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Traveling happened today, which is like you know that thing when you travel. You travel, you go, I should be working out, but then you go, oh, man, with the time difference. It's like, it's only an hour time difference. Yeah, I know, but my fucking bones, you know? And it's like, but you're always thinking of excuses, right? So I've been doing shows, and I've been traveling around a little bit, and every hotel I go to, I go, is the gym open? And they go, no, sorry, sir. And I go, thank you, fuck that. I'm going to go drink in my room. I'm going to slam heroin in my room. Call me when it's time to eat again. Like, sorry, the gym is closed. The bar's open, but the gym is closed. Okay, yeah, okay, all right. So this is the first hotel we've ever been to where the gym is actually open. And I was like, I carry a pencil just to break it. I was like, fuck, the gym is open. God damn it. So I was like, well, now the gym's open. Now I got to go to the gym. So what happened today is I went to the gym at 1:30. I walked up. I used my key card. The key card thing did the weird not working thing. I did the only move you have, which is I'll slide it on my thigh four times, then I'll come right back with it, as if that's ever worked, but you got to try it anyway. Put the key card in, didn't work again, looked up at the sign, gym closed between 1 and 4 p.m., and I was like, well... My compromise is that I ate 7 pounds of barbecue and drank 4 beers. I was like, we're going. I literally went from the gym door to Pecan, is it called, Max Patter? Pecan. We went Pecan. We literally just went, fuck it, gym's closed. We're going to the barbecue. Went to the barbecue. This guy, by the way, tell me if you know this guy. Tell me if you are this guy. I like this guy. I showed up at the gym the same time another guy showed up at the gym. And he said, what's going on with the gym? And I said, yeah, it's locked. Must be a COVID thing. And he went, it says 24 hours on the sign that's 27 years old. The sign that's 10 minutes old that's in the window that's made out of a piece of paper that says... closed between 1 and 4 p.m. So I pointed at the new sign, because I always go off the new sign, not the sign from 1986, the sign from Wednesday. So I said, I think this sign, I'm going to listen to this sign. And this guy goes, this is bullshit. And he goes, I'm going to get in this gym. And he storms off for the front desk. Now, I know we all hate this guy, but don't we kind of like him in a weird way? Like, aren't we jealous? Like, I was just defeated immediately by the sign. I was like, I guess you're not good enough to work out. go home and eat some barbecue and cry yourself. Get in a fetal position, beat off, and go to bed. Like, there's no gym for you. This guy was like, this is bullshit. And he stormed off to the front desk. Never came back, though, so I don't think he got in. But I like that kid's moxie. Also, let's see. Gym clothes. Oh, okay. I wanted to share a couple ideas with you tonight before we get started. Speaking of the gym, I realize that when it comes to the physical, like I have to get a physical every once in a while. If I want to go do a car race, I got to go do a physical, get my license and stuff like up the snuff and everything. And I don't know if you guys are with me, but the physical, when I was a kid, a physical, it was physically weird. Like when I used to have a physical for Pop Warner football, you'd have to drop your pants and some guy'd be touching your nutsack and you'd be coughing and it'd be weird. And you'd just be in your underpants back in the doctor's office and the nurse would be walking in and out. It'd be a weird thing. And it was kind of physically weird. Like the physical was physically weird. Now, you know, you get older, you get nude in front of anybody. You don't give a shit anymore. You just don't care. That's what happens when you get older. You don't care who sees you naked because no one wants to see you naked anymore. So it's like it's a perfect marriage. They don't want to see you naked. You don't care if they see you naked. So you just get naked. You don't care. But there is an emotional part of the physical where they start asking questions. And they usually start off pretty good for me. Like they'll go like family history of diabetes. And I go, nope. They go, you on any medications? Nope. Heart conditions? Nope. High blood pressure? Nope. Do you drink? What's that? Do you drink? Oh. Well, not, you know, I'm not an alcoholic, if that's what you're asking. No, I'm saying, do you drink? Occasionally, like, you know, I drink like everyone drinks, you know? Everyone doesn't drink. Oh, yeah, but, you know, the cool people, like the people you want to hang out with, right? Like, I drink like they drink. How often you drink? Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, special occasion. Like let's say I'm christening a ship or something, you know, I might have a little, whatever's left in the champagne bottle, a little toot, you know, nothing. How often do you drink? Every day. Every day? Yeah, like everyone. Everyone doesn't drink every day. Well, we don't want to hang out with those people. You drink every day? Listen, I'm buzzed now. I'm not drunk. I'm buzzed. You know, it's almost 4 in the afternoon. It's 1. Okay, but it's almost Friday. It's Tuesday. Okay, but the point is, let's not judge. A little buzz going. Do you smoke? Not a smoker, if that's what you're asking. I mean, do you smoke? Hey, look, if I'm at a party and a really hot chick lights 2 cigarettes and hands me one, like maybe I'll just take a little puff off it or something. I'm a smoker. How often do you smoke? Just when I drink. I also had some thoughts about dentistry because I was thinking about this sort of healthcare stuff, and I was like, I had some pretty good dental surgery the other. God, oh, this whole COVID thing, I can't tell what month it is or what time means anymore. Like people are like, you have twins? I'm like, oh, yeah, I got twins. How old are they? Between 9 and 62. I don't know anymore. Like, I don't know. How long have you been married? 400 years? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this COVID thing. And I can't get my time down anymore. But I was thinking, so I had dental surgery probably 9 months ago. And, you know, the guy's like, we got to extract the tooth, and we got to get the gum back, and we got to put the auger bit in the thing, and then we got to put the post in, then we got to do the gum graft, the bone graft, and all this shit. And he said, you're going to be passed out the whole time. Like, it's pure twilight sleep. And I thought to myself, like, that's good. You won't feel anything. But there's still kind of the mental aspect of it, right? Like, it's on the calendar. And I was kind of thinking, you know, dentistry started off as, you know, have a shot of vermouth and squeeze on this rag, and the guy just got in there with the tongs, and it was brutal. Then later on, they got into, like, Novocaine, but the Novocaine still hurt really bad, and you could hear everything, and you knew what was going on. And then they got into the laughing gas, and that kind of worked, but the Novocaine still hurt, and then they started the numbing. Then they started this whole twilight sleep thing, which is absolutely unbelievably great. Like, you just wake up, and you're like, what happens? Like, we're done. Why are my pants around my ankles? You know what? Whatever. It was worth it not to experience whatever you were doing in my mouth for the last hour and 28 minutes. So all is forgiven. I won't say a word. But I was thinking the next evolution of dentistry is not knowing you're going in, because when you know you got a procedure, you know you got the wisdom tooth, you know you got to do the graft and the thing and the drilling and the bone and all that shit, it freaks you out, right? You know they're doing it in your mouth. And then what they do is they go, you come in Monday at 8 a.m. and you're like, shit. And your whole week's ruined, right? The weekend's ruined because, like, Monday, oral surgery, Monday. And here is the next. Do we have any dentists in the audience tonight? Fantastic. Dude, is everyone here just like a crossing guard or work in a prison? Is there any professionals at all here? Is anyone above a GED here tonight? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody with 1 year of junior college under their belt? Anybody? Just a couple. So, all right. Well, tell this to your dentist, because this is my gift to you guys in dentistry, which is, the next evolution of dentistry has to be this. You don't know you need oral surgery. You go into the dentist office. The dentist, the guy gives you a checkup. He comes running back into the examination room, and he goes, Excelsior, this was excellent. You, my friend, eat as much taffy as you want. And by the way, just eat a handful of taffy and go to bed every night. You don't even need to floss anymore. This is excellent. You're the best patient I've ever had. And I'll see you never. 100% awesome checkup. You leave. You go out that night. You celebrate with your wife, your beautiful, awesome 100% checkup. As you're at the restaurant, you're hoisting a glass, you feel a sting on your neck, the room starts spinning around, your head drops on the table. 4 days later, you wake up in bed, you have bloody gauze stuffed in your mouth. You say to your wife, what happened? She's like, you had 3 impacted molars, it was 4 hours of surgery, you're down 18 pounds, and I blew you on the second day. You're welcome. And you're like, huh? Would that be the greatest advancement in dentistry ever? Thank you. All right. All right, should we bring on J.L. Coven and Bald Brian and Gina Grad and bring these guys on to hang out with us? Yeah, hi, guys.
What's happening?
Hi, guy.
Hey.
Gina, your hair looks fantastic. I don't know what's going on, but...
Thank you. You know, you've been commenting on it lately, and I'm thinking either you finally think that I know how to dress myself, or maybe you're like my new gay BFF.
Yes. I'd like to think of myself as your new fruit fly, I think we call it. We're not allowed to say fag hag anymore. Shit, I just said it.
Shit.
You are on an island, Bald Brian?
Yes, once again, I'm on lovely Balboa Island with the in-laws. They're lending a hand as I'm not able to help out with Tessa too much these days. But it's lovely down here, 73 degrees, and yesterday was great.
It is hotter than the hubs of hell out here, man. It's just heat and folks on scooters circling me. JL, where are you at?
I'm in New Jersey right now. Hello.
Good to see you, JL. JL Coven, people don't know it, he's kind of taken the internet by storm with his Trump impersonation. And he does an Adam impersonation as well. But can we have a little taste of Trump before we get moving?
Sure. When I put on the hat like it's over the top.
Yeah.
So we're happy to be in we're in Dallas. They call it the Addison Improv, right? The Addison.
But I think it's,
you know, they couldn't get the rights to Dallas, I guess, but that's okay. But we're happy to be here. Obviously, you've been very strong. I've seen you on Tucker. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, hey, Donald.
Excuse me.
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
No, well, it's, you know, you asked me to come on the show, and then all of a sudden you start talking. I mean, I was elected president, I respect.
I don't want to call you out. I saw pictures of you golfing with Brett Favre today, and, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And, you know, to be fair, I busted Obama's chops when he went golfing during the economic crisis. I just feel like I got to be even-handed. You're golfing. There's a pandemic going on. You're out with Brett Favre. Isn't that sort of bad optics?
Well, I'm maintaining 12 feet from all the black caddies, so we're doing proper social distancing.
And I think it's only six. It's 6 feet.
Well, you know, we're being extra cautious. It's called extra caution. And, you know, we're doing... Brett Favre, or I think it's pronounced Favre, he actually said that Colin Kaepernick was a hero, and it was kind of like a golf summit, because I needed to set him straight.
Oh, I see.
Sure.
So it was sort of work. It was a working vacation.
Well, it's one of the exactly. The golf is one of our great places to do business deals and to, you know, tell Mississippi quarterbacks that they're being too progressive. So we did great things today.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Brett Favre was a Mississippi quarterback before going to the Green Bay Packers. Who's your team? Are you a Washington? Are we allowed to say Redskins? We can't say Redskins anymore.
No, I would have been a strong supporter. Obviously, I'm in Washington. I love the New England Patriots because I'm friends with Bob Kraft.
Bob Kraft,
but,
right.
I would say that, you know, the Washington team, I can't support them until they come up with, you know, a great strong name. I was going to say the Blacks, because if you walk around Washington, D.C., you see a lot of them.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So it sounded, I think we got a bad connection. You were trying to say the Blackhawks because they have a hockey team.
No, they're very good as well. We respect them. But no, in Washington, D.C., you know, they call it Chocolate City. Maybe call it the Washington Chocolate People.
Mm-hmm. Sort of the Chocolate People, yeah.
We want it to represent, you know, that's what I see a lot of when I'm around.
Well, it's true that the roster probably has more African Americans than American Indians on the roster. I haven't checked it lately, but I'm just assuming there's probably a higher percentage there. So maybe there's something there. Brian, you have thoughts?
I was going to say, Mr. Trump, I mean, God forbid you lose this election. You'll have a couple of months afterwards before you're actually out of office. So, you know, do some sort of personal interest things. Maybe you can make an executive order renaming the team.
Well, that's, you know, we're already looking into that. So that's a good,
that's
a good suggestion, you know, because other than pardons, I'm going to be doing a lot of pardons in those couple of months. But other than that. No, we're looking at a lot of strong names for the Washington.
Can I suggest this? I don't know if there's such a thing, but is there such a thing as a pre-pardon? Like I don't know if you know. I know you pardon people after they commit crimes, but you know your buddy Kanye West. I feel like there's going to be like a triple homicide in the next 3 to 7 days. Could you pre-pardon? Is it possible to pre-pardon someone so when he goes to prison and you go out of office and Biden comes in and Biden's not going to pardon him, you grandfather in the pardon? And if you're doing pre-pardons, I wouldn't mind a pre-pardon either.
Well, we're actually looking, and I've already pre-pardoned myself. So
oh, you have? You know, oh, I didn't. Okay, well, there you go.
Savvy.
But I think Kanye could definitely use a few. I think he might need a few, so I'll have to see how many he uses up before I give you one. But we're looking into it.
There's a finite amount of pardons.
Pre-pardons.
Well, no. Pardons, you know, go ahead and commit the crime, Adam, and I'll give you a pardon. But we're looking at how many pre-pardons.
Yeah, I'd like to show up. I want the coupon in my pocket before I go into the Mexican restaurant that has the 2-for-1 taco nights. You know what I mean? I want it in my pocket.
No, that's, you know, you like that? Well, I'm not, I'm kind of anti-coupon, but I understand what you're saying.
No, that's a metaphor. I'm just saying, if I could get a pre-pardon and Kanye could get a pre-pardon, that would just be awesome.
Well, you know, we'll look into it. We're gonna talk to some people and we'll see what
What percentage of stuff that you say you're looking into are you actually looking into? Because I feel like it's got to be in single digits. Because I feel like you are looking into everything, but it can't possibly be you're looking into all the things you say you're looking into. It's got to be a small percentage.
When I say we, I mean sort of the Trump team. You know, we have a great business. We have a large government as well working for us. I don't know if you know that. Mm-hmm. So when I say we're looking into it, I'll look into it. I mean sort of the whole team. Like when you say you're going to do something, sometimes it means somebody on your staff is going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that sort of, you know, that kind of thing. The whole Trump team.
So are you looking into what percentage of the things you're actually looking into?
Well, I already sent a tweet, and we're having people look into that, into how many, what the percentage of things that I specifically am looking into.
So, you know, I'm looking out in the audience tonight. I'm not seeing a lot of masks out here in Texas. So some people are wearing masks, others aren't. Do you have a message for the people who are wearing masks or aren't wearing masks? I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, as you know, I'm very pro-mask as well as anti-mask.
So, okay.
You know, sort of it depends on who's talking. But, you know, I generally don't wear masks, you know, because people want to see their president being very strong, not sort of hiding. Mm-hmm. But I respect it if you want to wear a mask, if you're sort of terrified and anti-American.
Okay, well, I see a lot of people wearing masks here. They don't seem anti-American. They just seem
like I said, they're great people. They can wear the masks.
I don't know. I thought you called them anti-American moments ago.
No. We can, you know, maybe you should look into that because I definitely didn't say that.
All right, I'll look into it. Yeah. All right, should we do a little, let's see, what are we going to do? We're going to do... We're doing Rotten Tomatoes. Want to play that? All right, let's do that. All right, Dawson, what's the theme?
Well, we are hashtag blessed to have President Trump with us today. And in honor of his presence, we're dedicating the Rotten Tomatoes game to a researched list of Trump's favorite movies.
Ooh.
All right.
We'll start back in 1997.
Now, just real quick, everyone, just to lay the groundwork, we're going to guess the critic's score for Rotten Tomatoes on any of these movies, and whoever comes the closest is going to win, but we'll add it up at the end. So it's kind of like Trump's favorite game, golf. Whoever has the lowest score is going to win. So if a movie's 75%, you guess 70%, then you get 5 points in that particular round. All right, go ahead, Dawson.
Back in 1997, Donald Trump was interviewed for a profile in The New Yorker. He declared the Jean-Claude Van Damme slugfest with a quote, "Incredible, fantastic movie." JL, how would he say that?
Well, that's an incredible and fantastic movie.
Exactly. Though he did admit that he tasked his son with fast-forwarding through all the plot exposition. From 1988, the movie is Bloodsport.
Oh, boy.
1988. Donald, have you... it's been a while, probably, since you've seen Bloodsport. Do you remember some of the highlights? Are you a big Van Damme fan?
Well, you know what? I normally I'm not a fan of the French. Okay, they're sort of a weak people.
A weak, but weak people.
A very weak sort of people.
Okay.
But you know, I think I like that he sort of defied the stereotype. You know, he came out there, he was very violent. Great actor, by the way, too. And, you know, I thought, where's he from?
He's from Belgium.
Well, it's Belgium. Whatever region of France he's from. I mean, I was speaking generally French. But, you know,
President Trump, can I ask you this? We got the wall going up between the Mexican border and the United States. Now, I know Jean-Claude Van Damme lives in Vancouver. He's in Canada. And if you don't want him in this country, perhaps a second wall along the Canadian border might be in order. Have you ever thought about that wall?
Well, you know, I don't like Trudeau. That's the person who I'm most concerned about in Canada. But no, Van Damme, we would welcome. He sort of defies the stereotype. He's very strong.
All right.
And when the guy from Revenge of the Nerds, you know, got injured, he avenged him. So he was fighting to avenge the great American. And he fought the Asian with the pecs.
Okay, so Trudeau is out and Van Damme is in. I don't want to get you started on Time Cop because I know how much you love that movie. So let's all just weigh in here. Bloodsport, I never saw this movie. It seemed a little too deep for me into the... Just a little much, but I know it's kind of a cult classic, and I think the critics sort of liked it for what it is. Is everyone locked in?
Yeah.
I'm going to say barely rotten at 58%.
I went a little lower. It's not a good movie, but I think some people ironically love it. 41.
I was going to say 41, but I said there's no way in hell. I went 33.
President
Mr.
Trump?
President?
And I said, because I think the critics are terrible people, I went with 45 because I'm the 45th president.
Oh, sure.
And I think,
45.
I think they disrespected it the way the media disrespects me.
45. Okay.
Bloodsport is rotten at 40%.
Ooh. Ooh. No. Okay.
Right there. Okay. See, yeah, the people had it at 74. It's a you're a president of the people, and Bloodsport is a people's movie, President.
Agreed. That's okay. A good point.
Thank you. They're not all jokes, people. Sometimes they're just affirmations.
Insightful.
Go ahead, Dawson.
For a period of time, the Trump Organization's YouTube channel would feature vlog entries from the desk of Donald Trump. In 2012, Trump reviewed this next movie, saying, quote, "The movie is really worth seeing, and more importantly, Trump Tower, my building, plays a role." JL?
Most important, I have a great memory. My building, Trump Tower, plays a strong role.
It's the third film of the Christopher Nolan trilogy from 2012, The Dark Knight Rises.
Ooh, all right. So one of these movies, or two of them, is really good. What's the one Brian's always trying to get me to watch?
Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight is
spectacular. Surely one of the all-time best movies. This is the sequel to that.
This is a sequel. All right. But everyone likes the new version of Batman. Who would have... This... trajectory of Batman to start off as a weird, starts off as a comic book, then turns into a really campy TV show, then kind of turns into a campy, semi-serious feature, and then turns into a dark, intricate, interestingly woven,
gritty
story. Like, what other franchise, like, you know, the Archies has been around for a while, but it didn't... Jughead and Hot Dog and Veronica, they didn't have this trajectory. Like, Josie and the Pussycats was a cartoon, and then they just made a hokey movie of it in the 90s. But they didn't... Not this. Like, what is this? You know, what else has gone along this trajectory? All right, this is... The critics liked it. They didn't like it as much as the first one. They always shave a few points off, but the first one was... great, and this one is just good. I didn't see it. I say 82.
Whoa, how about that? I also have any view. This had the misfortune of being a follow-up to a truly spectacular movie. It's good. It's just nowhere near the one that it preceded or preceded.
This was the one with Bane, correct?
Yes, with Tom Hardy as Bane.
All right. Well, I would have said 82, but I had to take 2 points off for the fact that I couldn't fucking understand a single word he said. I said 80.
Yeah. Donald, Mr. Trump, President.
Well, you know what? I did very strong analysis on this movie. And it came out during Obama, the failed presidency of Obama. So I'm thinking they give it sort of a African-American bump to try and double 45. So I said 90.
Oh, wow. 90. Solid thinking.
Interesting. All right, Dawson.
The Dark Knight Rises is certified fresh at 87%.
Ooh. It's a close game. The people handed it 90. Yeah,
I know the people. Do you see that? That's what we should count that.
That's true. You're the president of the people, and you guessed 90. So good on you. Yeah, everybody. It's funny. We went to a bar up the street from the barbecue place, and the woman who was working as the hostess, who was letting us in, who was trying to explain to us that this bar was at capacity, but the roof bar wasn't, was wearing the mask, and Bane, couldn't understand a goddamn word she was saying. Yes, Brian.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. Was Mr. Trump having trouble with that water right there?
He's doing just fine, Brian. He didn't want to get it on his tie.
What happened?
Gina.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was just having a strong drink of water. And
why don't you show Adam how you make sure you don't get the water on your tie, because that was your explanation.
And I'm holding the microphone and the glass. It still has liquid in it. And it's
We can't hear, but okay. So we see you're drinking with two hands. Right,
Well, because I've got the microphone as well.
Right.
It's called strength.
Understood. I know you don't drink alcohol. I know your brother Fred, I think, had a little problem with alcohol and left us early, and that's one of the reasons you don't drink the alcohol. Your niece wrote that tell-all book that sold 950 units in 950,000 units in pre-sales. I mean, I write books. That is astronomical. Did you read the book? Was there any kernels of truth in there?
No, the only truth was I once called her, she said I called her stacked.
Yeah.
Okay? And what I actually said was, you're fucking stacked. So that was sort of a misquote. But other than that, it was a total book of lies, and I'm not impressed. She sold 1 million copies. It's no big deal.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of units. And I agree. Stacked was, the doctor that delivered Gina called her stacked. So
funny.
I don't think it's that big a deal, but that's just me.
Wait. Are you trying to tell me that on everyone's birth certificate, it doesn't give height, weight, and cup size?
All right, what's next?
If I get a second term, it will. If I get it, believe me, if I get a second term, I'm going to make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
During Trump's presidential run in 2016, he went from one campaign rally to the next, playing the theme for the Harrison Ford action classic Air Force One. Years later, he gleefully revealed sketches of the $3.9 billion makeover for his new presidential aircraft, though he would not reveal what he'd do if Gary Oldman took over the flight from 1997, Air Force One.
Do you think there was an actual conversation that Trump had with one of the designers at Boeing when they were talking about remanufacturing, freshening up Air Force One, where he was like, I don't get why I can't put a chandelier in an airplane. Donald,
it's a totally reasonable question.
Yeah, so again, I'm not an engineer, but I would say there's something called, you don't want that kind of mass. It's like a counter mass. As you take off, it's sliding backwards. Then as you level out, it slides forward. I think in the racing car world, we call it unsprung weight. It's kind of the enemy of flight,
Well, when I saw Jeff Epstein's plane had mirrors all along the ceilings, I said, can't we do a chandelier?
Oh, were you on that plane?
No, no.
Okay, so you just saw pictures of the plaque.
Right, when we were in, you know, when we were deciding not to go on the plane, I saw pictures and it was not a nice place.
Mr. President, you call him Jeff Epstein, and we're all calling him Jeffrey. It suggests a level of intimacy or knowledge, at least, that you might know him well.
Oh, is it Jeffrey? I don't even know. I thought I had heard Jeff. I must have missed it. I don't know this person.
You don't know the man?
I didn't even know he was a man.
It's a man.
With names these days.
All right.
It's just a person that I've heard of once.
Well, you did wish Ghislaine Maxwell well, so that was very nice of you.
Oh, well, we pronounced it Ghislaine.
Oh, sure.
Right.
So, you know, that's what we called the runway on Jeff Epstein's private island.
Worse. One of the worst streets in America to live on, Ghislaine. Like,
strongly agree.
Yeah, especially during the summer months. All right, now listen. I got to be honest. I like this movie. It's a fun action movie.
I like it too.
But the critics can't like this movie. But it was good. It had what's his name, right? Played the heavy Tom
Gary Oldman.
Or Gary Oldman, right? He was great in this. It was like a fun action movie, but again, the critics can't like it that much, even though it delivered. I'm going to say we're getting down to crunch time. I got to make up some points here. Was it fresh in this? I'm going to say it was good enough at 63.
Yeah, this movie should have been dumb and stupid. In fact, it was really, really good. Wolfgang Petersen, the director, is a like really good director. He did In the Line of Fire. I think he did the Perfect Storm. I went 83. It's a good movie.
Ooh.
Okay, I've never seen it. All I can think about is Con Air. I don't know anything about this movie. I said 58.
President Trump.
This is a tremendous film. Very strong. And I wrote down 91.
Wow.
The critics liked it. I think it was one of the few times I think I agreed with the far left movie critic fake news.
Air Force One is certified fresh at 76%.
Ooh, nice. Wow. And the people have it at 66. What the hell, Donald? What is going on with the people?
Well, that's probably voter fraud.
I think a lot of mail-in
Rotten Tomatoes scores.
Oh, so you think there was some ballot harvesting going on with this Rotten Tomatoes scores, huh?
Well, Air Force Two probably, you know, was competing and said, let's ruin Air Force One. It's a great movie.
Yeah, listen, the critics at 76, the people at 66. I never saw that one coming. All right, are we at the last one, Dawson?
Two more. Earlier this year at a rally in Colorado Springs, Trump told the crowd he was displeased with the South Korean film Parasite that took home Best Picture Oscar. He said, quote, "Let's get Gone with the Wind back, please. Sunset Boulevard. So many great movies." It's a film that still makes headlines to this day from 1939. Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind.
This is a tricky one. It's having a weird renaissance.
Yeah.
Some contemporary reviews might throw it off.
Donald, what do you think about us trying to do a little revisionist history by, cutting up this film or doing, I think we put a header on it now where we explain that there's some messages in here that aren't politically correct. Do you a fan of that?
I don't like it one bit. I think, you know, if they were going to, you know, it's not like they made it more realistic. They just added some woman talking in front of the movie, but it's still the same movie. So now they're just ruining the movie with some woman in an office, you know, giving some introduction that's totally not necessary. So I think it's a disgrace, but can I give my score?
Yeah, I just want to say this. I'm wondering if this should just be expanded to every movie. Like before I watch Gone in 60 Seconds, some sheriff would have to explain to me, like in front of a cyclorama, that these were stunt drivers and this wasn't indicative of the way people should drive in this country. Like, should we just ruin every movie with a fucking precursor?
I think that's where this is headed. I think this is where we're headed as a movie country.
How about
before Star Wars? Before Star Wars, do not try to breathe in outer space.
Right. Or like before any of us get laid, Dr. Drew puts a video on that explains STDs are easily spread during intercourse. Like, yeah. All right. So they the critics had to love this one, but has it gone down a few points over the years because it's not politically correct? I'm going to just jump in and say this is still Gone with the Wind, 94.
Yeah, I wanted to go 100 for that reason, but I'm accounting for contemporary reviews that, you know, it doesn't hold up, so I said 90.
Yeah, I think it's weird that I went this low, but this is a very tough one. So I said, because of the press, it's been getting 84.
President Trump.
99, because I think only a couple of critics took cowards and lowered it from 100, so I'm saying 99.
Gone with the Wind is certified fresh at 91%.
Okay. People had it at 93. Okay. It's only 99 critic votes in there, which is, I don't know, feel like the movie's 85 years old. Like, there might be a couple more. All right, last one. Here we go. Championship rounds.
Finally, we discuss a film that Trump and Melania Trump actually appear in. They're walking down the red carpet, and Trump delivers the line, "Look, without Derek Zoolander, male modeling wouldn't be what it is today." President Trump, can we hear that line?
Without Derek Zoolander, the great Derek Zoolander, male modeling would not be where it is today.
That's great.
I could
still
imagine.
Still not clear if Trump knew he was in the movie from 2001,
which
starring
movie?
Ben Stiller,
Zoolander,
and Owen Wilson. The movie is Zoolander.
God, it's so funny.
All right, so people like this movie. They think it's funny. I never, you know, I saw bits and pieces of it. I never really got on the train with it, but I know people love it. I think Brian's in the lead right now. Feel like one of us are going to have to just stick this landing and get it right on. If you get the number, Dead Nuts On, we'll do a 5-point deduction. So I'm going to say the critics didn't love it as much as many as the people we know, and I'm going to say for that reason, it is a 66.
Oh, my God, I'm right there with you. Sorry, buddy, 67.
Oh, man.
Well, this was probably one of those movies, right place, right age group, right time. I said 79. Mr. Trump?
And, you know, with the Trump melatonin bounce, with the two of us being in it, I said 84.
Mm. Wow.
Zoolander is fresh at 64%.
Ooh. And see, the people have it at 8. The one time I get close and Paul Bryan's only a point off. All right, tally it up. You know, I was thinking, I think it'd be funny, because I don't think Trump could be in a movie anymore, because if somebody said, Donald Trump, your line is, there's Derek Zoolander, he's the future of modeling, you couldn't just deliver that line. You'd have to say he's terrific, or he's a dear friend, or you know him well. Like, you couldn't just say that line, right?
Well, no, it's called, you know, great actors, they sort of improv, you know, they do the sort of, they give me the line, and then I give it sort of greater
so I'd say,
strength.
You just say, Derek Zoolander, that guy is a gift to modeling.
Derek Zoolander, the great Derek Zoolander.
All right, hold on. Let me just stop you there. Just say Derek Zoolander. That guy's a gift to modeling.
Got it. Derek, we love him. Derek Zoolander.
Yeah,
he's a
on.
Gift. It's like a gift, you know,
sorry,
a present.
Cut,
when somebody
cut.
Gives you something, he's a gift.
No, I'm sorry. Just say Derek Zoolander, gift to modeling. There you go.
Thought that's what I said.
Well, no, you keep stopping and making sidebar comments about Zoo. Just go ahead. Sorry. We'll try this.
Derek Zoolander. That guy, this guy is so strong. He is, I think... It's what people would call a gift. It's called a gift to modeling. And I know model. I'm married to a model, so I know.
Yeah, okay. Can we just... Maybe we could just get the words separately and we could just edit them together. You know, just say Zoolander and gift and model, and we'll just kind of cobble it together in the edit bay.
Derek. You know, like, it's almost like Rick, but then you add, like, a more letters to it, so it's almost like his name could be Rick. Zoolander. Not from the... Not an animal, though. He's not from the zoo. He's just sort of, you know, a person with the name Zoolander. And he's a great guy, and I tell you, that guy's a what we call a gift, okay, to modeling. Great model.
Yeah. Maybe we can get Bloomberg to deliver this line. I feel like it would. I feel like it would work. All right, Dawson, tally it up and tell us what we got.
All right, President Trump, in your first appearance in the Rotten Tomatoes game, coming in with a score of 51.
Ooh,
not too bad.
Respectable.
Respectable.
Thank you. Very respectable.
Adam Carolla. You certainly made the podium because besting the Donald by 10 points, your score is 41.
Respectable.
Bald Brian, you certainly beat Gina Grad, as did everyone else.
God damn it.
Gina, you did not make the podium. 54.
Oh.
Bald Brian, best score of the night, a small 17.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow.
That's a good score.
Averaging less than 3.5 per movie. Not too goddamn shabby. All right, Gina, why don't you get ready with the news here?
Got it.
I will hit my Tommy John spot. You guys into Tommy John? Summer in full swing. Oh, man, it is hot out there. Tommy John, proud to introduce their new essentials. I hope you guys and I hope you gals are wearing your Tommy John underwear, because this stuff is just the best, especially if you're working out, especially if you're riding your bike, you're moving around. Hot outside, guaranteed to redefine comfort, and no matter how hot it is outside, super soft second skin, now features a new hammock pouch for the men out there, and they make the bras, and they make the ladies' underpants as well. If you don't love your first pair, get a full refund with their best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guarantee, right, Dawson?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, Gina, let's do a little news, shall we?
Do it.
News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
J.L. Colvin does Adam Carolla impersonation as well, by the way. So, I don't know. We're doing the news. It seems like the best time for you to do a little Adam Carolla. So maybe you can respond as me to whatever you like, J.L.
Sounds good. I'll dust it off. I hope it's not rusty.
No, yours is strong. Go ahead.
Well, I hate to start off with such sad news, but this just in, as we record this, a big RIP to legendary broadcaster Regis Philbin. He has died at the age of 88, natural causes, and of course, host of numerous shows, including Live with Regis and Kathy Lee, then Regis and Kelly, and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He was nominated 37 times for Daytime Emmys. He won 6.
Well, it's kind of an old Jeff Ross routine, but when you're 88, we don't need the natural causes. Like, he didn't die in a pole vaulting incident.
He was skydiving. The chute didn't open.
His dune buggy flipped over. natural. Oh, yeah, I don't want to live in a world without Regis.
Yeah.
JL, I mean, Adam.
You know, I say this with respect, but, I mean... Was Regis actually
talented? I mean, did he have a real talent? I say this respectfully. Like, you know, I mean, you host some shows, you, I don't know, you sit with a drunk Kathy Lee. It's, you know, I respect the longevity, but...
Yeah, no, I mean...
Is it real? Is it really a talent?
Let me add to me. We give game show hosts way too much credit because they read the answers, but it's not like they know the answers. They read the answers, you know? We go, like, Alex Trebek, that guy's a fucking genius. Yeah, he reads answers, and... Reed just read a lot of stuff, too. Like, but we gave him a lot of credit for being pretty wise and sharp and everything, but all that shit's on a 3x5 card. So
yeah, he will be missed.
He will be missed. Yeah, not by anyone we know, but he's definitely going to be missed by potential family members. Although, he must have a small fortune to leave behind, right?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And, also... Is there any other human being ever named Regis? Is that a name? Is that a family name? Is it
that's
short?
That's a hotel.
Yeah. It didn't catch on.
Yes, that's right. His blessed dad, the Saint Regis. Yes, he shall be missed, sort of, but not that much. But look, God willing, one day some dickhead comic will be talking about me and how I died, and no one gives a shit. And they call that Hakuna Matata, the circle of life, right? What would it sound like if Adam Carolla said Hakuna Matata, Jail?
Hakuna Matata.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Gina,
You know who is going strong?
Hmm.
Both of them are going strong. Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas.
Mm,
I think 84 and 82, they just wrote a book about how to keep the marriage fresh. So they're going to stick around for a while, I think.
I don't want to hear... So they're married? They've been married, for 50 years?
97 years.
I don't... once you get over 80, I don't want any books about how to keep the marriage fresh. I don't want to hear about you guys having sex because I just ate, number one. Number two, you don't keep the marriage fresh over 80. You wait to die because you're too lazy to get divorced at that point. And you're essentially unfuckable to the rest of humanity. Other than that, I wish those kids well.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So we just found out that...
Hey, can I say this?
Yes.
You know how I hate my parents?
No.
Yeah, I hate my parents.
It's come up once or twice.
Refresh me. Maybe it's because I wasn't here last night.
My dad is going to be turning 89 in about a month, and every time I hear about some great American who died earlier than my dad, I get angry at my dad. I'm like, now my dad has outlived Regis Philbin. I mean, Regis Philbin, you got to look it up, Maxipata. He must have been born within 7 months of my dad, and my dad had the gall to outlive the great Regis Philbin. Can you believe the gall of that man, the temerity?
He had no business. Yeah.
He has no business. I'm going to tell him next time I see him, you have outlived Regis Philbin. What makes you think your shit doesn't stink? That you can outlive the great Regis Philbin. My dad, I don't know what year my dad was born or what month he was in.
I know, this has actually been a mystery. I've been trying to find out for a few months now. I don't know how to...
I think he's going to turn 89 in September, so we could probably back out 89 years. But Regis must have been...
Regis was 1 month shy of his 89th birthday.
Oh, my God. They'd probably share the same birthday. I'm now livid at my dad. How dare you? All right. Now, Regis, is his wife still alive? Didn't he always talk about his wife in that show when he had that... Max Pat will find that one out. You go ahead, okay. Gina. But
I will.
He had that wife that he always... I mean, they do, like, Mocha Mix commercials and stuff
Joy?
Like that.
Joy Philbin?
Joy Philbin. Yes, they do commercials for coffee cream or something, like, from the 80s.
She's still alive.
She's still alive.
Yeah.
All right.
Joy's 79.
Hold on. 79?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Jesus Christ. So my bitch of a mom has outlived Joy Philbin. Just rub it in her face. Boy, when I see those two, I'm going to let them have it next time I see them. This is an outrage. This is an attack.
You're going to give them what for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a celebrity that turns out had a secret case of COVID, was in the hospital for a while, and we're just finding out now. That man's name is Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Revealed, yeah, that he spent a week in a California hospital back in April with COVID-19. The actor's rep said the 64-year-old was very sick, treated with remdesivir. He has since recovered and tested negative numerous times. He's also tested positive for antibodies now, but that was a super secret case of COVID.
So it's funny, like, he has simultaneously the best and the worst publicist, because some things they're really good at keeping secret from the public, like COVID-19. But calling highway patrol officers monkey nipples and little Jewesses and screaming into a telephone, you need to come to this hot tub and blow me, that they couldn't keep out of the trades. They couldn't keep that out of the newspapers. But the COVID thing, they did a good job of, you know, mum's the word on that.
Wouldn't it be great if it was the same PR person this whole time? Like, all right, listen, I want this kept quiet, not like last time.
I wonder if he had, like, if he had a bad case and then, like, his Jewish doctors came in and, like, his anger fueled him to recover. He was like, get your hands off of me.
Or maybe he had a mild case and the Jewish doctors came in and went, yeah, put a little tap water in that syringe and call it resmerifier, whatever that shit is. Call it, just spit piss in that syringe and call it hydroxychloroquine, would you? Don't mess with the Jews. They're all doctors.
Thank you.
And then later on, when there's a malpractice situation, you try to get the other half of the Jews, and they're all lawyers, and now you're really fucked.
Cast one is who, man.
That's right. Sorry.
Well, this is actually, I'm hoping the President Trump can enlighten us on this. I'll just give the broad strokes, but I'm sure he could provide us maybe with some more details. The president has announced he has accepted an invitation from the Yankees to throw out the first pitch before their August 15th game against the Red Sox. Up until now, Trump has not thrown a first pitch, which every American president has done since 1910. It was Taft. Trump joked that Yankees president Randy Levine assured him he won't get booed because there won't be a crowd.
Sure.
But
so thoughts, Mr. President?
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. As far as the sound effects guy, they got the cheering, the mild cheering, the big cheering. They got to have a boo button in there too, right?
I just made this point today. My in-laws are huge Dodgers fans, so I watched a few innings of Dodgers-Giants. And I'm like, they got to have the boo button for when, like, the pitcher throws over first base for the third time. Or
right.
When the catcher comes out for the visiting team to talk to the pitcher and they're, like, bringing up the momentum. Yeah, for sure you got to have
the boo button. Like, the streaker gets onto the field, you know? Like, they gotta have that. Trump, you going to throw out that first pitch?
I'm going to throw it very strongly. As you know, I was a great baseball player back in my youth. Mm-hmm. And I am, you know, Fauci, little Fauci, we call him. He's like the, you know, snack size version of a doctor. His throw was so bad. I almost want to thank him because he set the bar so low. Now I'm going to throw with such heat. It's going to be, you know, I hope I don't injure the catcher. You know, I don't want to do that. But I got to tell you, with Fauci throwing it to, you know, 8 feet in front of him to the left, I think I'm going to look very strong when I throw that great pitch.
I'm having this fantasy of Trump going out there, winding up, and throwing like a Roger Clemens-type fastball, like right down the pipe, and then later on that night, CNN going, it was a little off the plate. Like, it was a little, he didn't have movement in the ball. He just didn't have his stuff tonight. Yet they... They clocked it. It was clocked at 88. That is a triple A ball type speed. That is not. Yes, he was wearing wingtips and a three piece suit. But if you can't break into the 90s, you're not. You have no business on that mound. Yes. Sorry. And they checked the ball. Turns out it was doctored. They found a little pine tar. And some Brill cream on there. All right. So Trump, you're gonna go out there and throw out that first pitch. You played in high school?
I did. I was a very strong baseball player in high school.
Uh-huh. Now, there's a lot of controversy. Speaking of high school, did you have someone take your SATs so that you go to the Wharton School of Business?
No, this is of course, you know, from the nasty niece, you know, a fake book.
Fake book.
What happened was, here's what happened. I was going to take the test, okay, on a Saturday, like everybody takes. Mm-hmm. And my great father, Fred Trump, came down the stairs and he said, sir, even my father called me sir when I was a kid. And he said, sir, you don't have to take the SAT. They already want you in the school. You're too smart. So he sent an Asian student to go to the school and tell them on my behalf that I didn't have to take the test. So that's, you know, so he went to the test and I assume told them, and I went to great schools.
So he didn't take the test.
Certainly gears things up.
And take it for you.
Oh, no. My father said, sir, this kid is going to go and just deliver a message. Nobody took the test. I didn't have to.
Okay. That's a lot of very formal family that your dad would call you sir.
Well, it's the respect. It's everybody. You know, the generals never called the president sir until I got elected. Now all they say is sir when I walk into a room. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, I bring, you know, more respect and honor to the office, I think, than we've had in a long time.
Mm. You classed up the joint, for sure.
I really did. With that, you know, I don't see a huge table of fast food with any other presidents.
That's true.
Right, that's true, yeah.
You got us there. So I know we talk, you know, there's a lot in the zeitgeist lately about, you know, body positive, everyone's beautiful. And I got to hand it to this woman, because I think they might be right. A 56-year-old woman from California, she's technically from Calabasas, a neighborhood not too far away, made her debut in Sports Illustrated's swimsuit issue. Holy moly. She's 56-year-old. We're looking at a picture of her. Her name's Kathy Jacobs. She's been married for 25 years. She has a daughter in med school. She said in an interview that a year and a half ago, she was sweeping hair off the floor at a beauty salon, and she just decided to take some pics and submit herself to the magazine. And she's hoping that this will lead to other opportunities, because she says old is gold.
Old is gold?
Old is gold.
Yeah, well, look.
I mean, damn. Look at that body. I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's true, but we're not out at 23-year-olds to fuck, are we? I mean, if we're on an island and there's only 56-year-olds to fuck, then she's number one in line. But as long as they're still 23-year-olds, then it's a wonderful achievement. But I mean, it's like when the, you know, once in a while there'll be some, you'll be at like some pickup game and at the YMCA, and as there'll be some 46-year-old dude, and he'll be able to dunk a basketball still, but he's still wouldn't make the cut for any NBA team, and that's what I'm saying. So it's a wonderful achievement. But how old did you say her daughter was in med school?
She's in med school.
Well, see, so that's maybe where I'd like to kind of shift the direction of the conversation. Like, because if the apple don't fall too far from the tree, that daughter's the one you want to keep an eye on. And by the way, can people stop pretending like they just sort of tripped and stumbled into modeling? Like, well, I went down to the beach and I got my underpants and I took a few pictures. I didn't know what would come of it. Really? Has anyone ever had that impulse? I'm going to just go down to the beach and get my underpants, take a look at pictures. I didn't know what would happen. Why'd you fucking go to the beach and take pictures if you didn't want this to happen? You know you're hot. Admit it. You're hot. She's hot.
Fine, I'm hot.
Right, you're hot. That's what it is. And
okay.
And for 50, but she's been married for 25 years, right?
Yeah.
So that's got to be a pretty good deal for that guy, right? Because that's a pretty that really hasn't dropped off in 25 years, right?
She would ace your wedding gown initiative.
Yeah, my wedding gown initiative is. You guys got to help me with this because I may have forgotten it. But you get $1,000 to spend on a wedding gown. For every $500 you spend on it, after $1,000, you have to fit into it for the next 5 years. So if I know it sounds horrible, especially with all this Me Too shit, but I'm just saying, my wife's wedding gown, I don't know, it was like $2,800.
And now I have to pay to store it, which is you have to pay for like temperature control storage. And then they always do this thing where I go, I'm renting a tuxedo. You're spending $2,800. You're only going to wear the gown once. And every chick goes, what do you mean? When our daughter walks down the aisle, she's going to be wearing this gown. And I'm like, really? Why aren't you wearing your mom's gown? I just did the fucking math. Oh, by the way, I'm sure this gown that's 31 years old will be in style when my daughter goes down the aisle.
This beautiful mustard-colored macrame gown.
Yes, I'm sure of it. Yeah, with a big jizz stain on the front of it now. No daughter wants to go down the aisle with daddy's jizz and a big Rorschach test. No, I'm saying no daughter. This shouldn't be offensive. No daughter wants daddy's jizz Rorschach. Jizz Rorschach on her... on the front of her gown.
Who could disagree with that?
That's right. That's right. Sorry. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, here, let's get you a good one. Here we go. You know, back to school is right around the corner, and whether they're going in or not, they're going to have to pay some sort of tuition. So the Satanic Temple is here to help. The Satanic Temple is offering scholarships to high school graduates. And Adam, I think this is something you could really get behind. It's a Salem, Massachusetts-based group. They advocate stricter separation of church and state, and they have $500 for the Devil's Advocate Scholarship to any 2020 graduate. Here's how you apply. Students must answer one of two questions. One is they have to describe what they've done to promote the organization's mission. Or you can describe a teacher who crushed your spirit, undermined your confidence, and made you hate every minute you were forced to be in school. And you could do it as an essay, poem, or film, and hopefully you'll get yourself a $500 scholarship.
I had, how many bad teachers did you guys have versus good teachers? Like, I feel like I had 3 good teachers and 128 bad teachers. And, every time everyone wants to go, these guys are heroes. Actually, this is an interesting thing that would probably go over well in Texas. We have our teacher and cop ratios all fucked up. We live in a society where, there's a bunch of bad cops and a couple of good cops. And the reality is there's a bunch of good cops and a couple of bad cops. And then we go, these teachers are all heroes, but there's a couple of bad ones. Most teachers fucking suck. There's 3 good ones. Apply the fucking same ratio that Black Lives Matter does to cops, but just do it to teachers. If, by the way, any of them will ever agree to go back to work. None of them, my kids, none of those teachers are going back. Like, it's after January, my son is going to walk into that classroom when they eventually agree to go back to school. And I'm going to be like, Sonny, it's time to go back to school. And he'll go, okay, I guess I better shave my beard and get my prostate checked if we're going in. Where's my stroke cane? And then he'll go, and I'll be older than Regis.
Might be
who's outlived by James
though.
Carolla. Sorry, yes?
I was going to say, it might be good for team sports, though, if he goes back as a 19-year-old ninth grader.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. No, he's going back like Forrest Whitaker went back to high school in Fast Times at Ridgemont. Yeah, that'll be my son. Yeah. There'll be a bunch of guys playing JV football that are 27 years old. All right, Gina.
I just want to ask real quick, do you remember any of the specific insults, Adam, I know you do, that teachers gave to you? Because a classic one that was given to me, and I was given a lot of them because I was a real bad student, a real dummy. But one of them said to me, and I was well into my high school years, said, Gina, your parents buy you books and paper to go to school, and all you do is eat the goddamn crayons.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I had Miss Komisar, who was in her 80s, say to me after class, and it totally, she said, Adam, you're a funny guy. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, and all the girls like you, she said, which I was like, no, they do not, but you're on a roll, keep going. And then she paused and she said, do your parents beat you? And I was like, no, I don't know what your observational skills are after presiding in front of students for the last 47 years, Ms. Komisar, but you've learned nothing. My dad's never never put a hand on me. I did also have Mr. Smith tell me, he looked at me, he went, you know, Adam, you're awesome. And I went, well, really? Thanks. And he went, yeah, aw, sometimes you're good, and aw, sometimes you suck.
Classic.
I was like, I felt good for about 8 seconds. I had Mr. Tomey explain to me, really, my counselor explain to me, like, really condescendingly when I was like, I want to take Mr. Jeffries' history class, because all my friends and all, like, the cool kids and the popular kids are, like, taking Mr. Jeffries' history class. So could you get me into Mr. Jeffries' history class? And he literally gave me a sit-down conversation, like, that's a little too much class for you, Dumbo. Like, those kids are normal kids. Where's your dunce cap, boy? You're not, you go into that class, he makes you do work. Like, you're going to fail horribly because you have to do stuff in that class. I remember lots of those. Yes, Brian?
I got one that's in that caliber. So my history teacher was also the cool history teacher, like, my sophomore year, and Mr. Bertetta at Sarah High School. And I, of course, totally, you know, abused his trust and was acting up every day. And for the 10th time I got in trouble, I came home to my mom already home. And she goes, Brian, can you explain this? Presses play on the answering machine. It's Mr. Bertetta leaving a message, a lengthy message, that includes the phrase verbatim, Brian is one of the worst students I've had the misfortune of teaching in my 22 years.
Wow.
Well done.
Misfortune.
JL, you had any bad ones?
No, not that I can think of, but the... Not to ruin the story, the only funny story I have from school is in third grade, I was 5'2", and my teacher, Miss Schoen, was 5'1". When I was 8 years old, I was 5'2".
You're what, 6'6" now?
6'7".
6'7",
yeah. So, yeah, you can't tell from this screen.
No, you can't.
But no, I don't think I've had any. I mean, I've had, like, mediocre teachers and good teachers, but I don't think I have any sort of... Awesome. I went to private school, so I guess there's a vetting process there. So
not public. All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, we're going to bid adieu to Brian and Gina Grad and JL Coven, and you can listen to JL's podcast, Making Podcasts Great Again, website JL Coven. That's CAUVIN.com. We're going to close out the show with a little Adam Carolla's Unprepared. So you guys raise your hand, put one word out there. Bye, guys. Put one word out, and I will do a made-up stand-up bit on that one word. Hydrochloroquine. So says that person there. Yes, I... Hydrochloroquine. I was talking about this to Dr. Drew earlier today, actually. The thing that's funny is everyone turned on hydrochloroquine because Trump said it might have some promise. But the news media was acting like Trump knew what hydrochloroquine was 10 minutes before he said it. He didn't. Somebody just told him it shows some promise, and then he said it shows some promise, and then Joy Behar and all the other yentas on the news went berserk on hydrochloroquine. It's just some inert pill that people have been taking for 65 years. Dr. Drew said it has less side effects than aspirin and Tylenol. So here's the thing that's insane about CNN. CNN has been ramming this narrative up our ass for the last 8 months that COVID-19 was going to kill us all in our sleep, but we were going to get a light, dry raping before it killed us in our sleep. And we're reaching the grim milestone of 87,000 Americans. And we have more new cases in Florida and Arizona and Texas. And this, there's nothing. So CNN is pushing nothing but grim milestones and how this is all going to kill us and how no one is safe to go outside unless you're protesting Black Lives Matter, and then it's okay. But nope, but you're not safe on the beach, and you're not safe in the nail salon, and you're not safe at the bar or the hair salon. This is a number one world-class killer of all Americans. And then somebody says, how about we take this 60-year-old pill? Somebody said that might be effective. And then CNN went, fuck that pill. That's going to kill you faster. So, CNN, I ask you, are you this scared of COVID-19, or do you hate hydrochloroquine with a fucking red-hot passion? It can't be both. If you're preaching that you're scared shitless of COVID-19 and somebody says this drug may help lessen the effects of COVID-19, you can't explain that taking that drug will kill you. You can't have both. If you can't share the same screen or the same mind or the same teleprompter, that's how I know these people are full of shit. They... Well, look, I don't want to go full political here, but... CNN's approach to COVID to hydrochloroquine should have went, oh, I don't know, let's wait till the trials come out, or let's take it, or why not, or I guess so, or if everyone in India is taking it for malaria, well, then so be it. Like, that's what their approach should have been, something neutral, something like, we'll wait and see, because no one knows what this stuff is. Everything is brand new. You combine it with zinc. You do it early. Evidently, if you do it early with zinc, it has some effectiveness. And why wouldn't you just approach it that way instead of scream at everyone who's taking it and just politicize everything? And by the way, Trump didn't say, I invented hydroxychloroquine. He said, some guy told me it may be effective. That's all. He can say a few things every once in a while. Like, he could say, don't dive into a shrub filled with cacti. And CNN could go, all right, a broke clock is work. A broke clock works is right twice a day. I know, I screwed that thing up. But the point is... There's a couple of things you can say that you can agree with and then just disagree with everything else that comes out of that guy's mouth. All right, hydrochloroquine. Yeah, don't get Dr. Drew started on that shit. He's on it. California. Thanks for raising your hand. I just saw in the news today that Elon Musk is building his new truck factory out here. And I think Joe Rogan is moving out here, and everybody is just leaving California because, you know, and I don't know, you know, look, I like Texas, don't get me wrong. There are other places one could go from California. I'm sort of just thinking, instead of going inland, I'm just going out to sea. I'm just gonna fucking build a barge like Tom Hanks did in Survivor or Island or whatever that was. Castaway. Yeah. I'm just gonna build a barge and push it 26 miles out across into international waters and have prostitutes and gambling on it. Like, I'm not going inland. I'm not paying any taxes or anything. So Texas is good. I think, you know, to be fair, let's be honest. Texas is good, but I don't know. Is Texas great? Yes. Hold on. Or is California a shit show inside a dumpster fire? Like, is so here's what I'm saying. Maybe Texas is like the C-plus student, but the older brother's in juvie. You know what I mean? And you're like, well, every time you go, you should get your grades up. Look at Kirk. He's in juvie. So is Texas the C-plus student with the brother that's in juvie known as California, or are you guys the Asian student who's crushing it on the SATs? Well, but here's how I know. Here's how I know Texas isn't that great. Well, hold on. This is obviously not a popular thought here. But wait a minute. I grew up in California, and I grew up all through the 70s and the 80s of California, and I don't remember hearing shit about how good Texas was. I started hearing how great Texas was when L.A. fell off a fucking cliff. So did Texas just shoot up in the last few years, or do we just dig a hole and bury ourselves in California? See, I like the show Dallas and Larry Hagman and J.R. Ewing. And listen, I grew up in California. I heard about Texas, but I didn't hear everyone had to pick up and move to Texas by Friday because California was not a shit show. You want to know the difference between California and Texas? Once upon a time, yeah. Picture this. The great Carol Shelby, yeah. Born in Texas, moved to Venice Beach, California, so he could build automobiles and be left alone by the man. Imagine moving from Texas to Los Angeles so you could manufacture race cars. Could you imagine that today? Right. So everybody is now going to have... So Texas... So if you want to know... Like, if you want to follow the trajectory of California in Texas, simply follow the automotive manufacturing innovative genius that is Carol Shelby and Elon Musk. Yeah. Carol Shelby starts in Texas, moves to California. Elon starts in California and moves to Texas. And if I was in front of the governor of California, I would simply just show him the graph. This is Elon. This is him driving to Texas. This is what it used to be. This would be Carol Shelby driving to California. Your shit show policies have gotten these people to do this. Thank you. All right, let's do one more. Kanye? We got Kanye up front. Kanye. Oh, yeah. I'm down with my pre-pardon idea for Kanye. Kanye's going nuts. At least he stopped making music, I guess, because I always felt bad for all the white people who had to pretend like he was a genius all the time but never knew what he did. You know, Kanye went, oh, yeah, that guy's an innovator. That guy's a genius, yeah. Do you have any Boss Skaggs in the jukebox? Because I don't really know what's going on, but I have to pretend. I don't want to be called square or racist, so I'll just go Kanye West. That guy's a genius, even though I'm not familiar at all with what he does. But I cannot see that guy... That guy's got to get divorced, right? And then who has more money, Kim Kardashian or him? Like, how does that work when those two get divorced? Like, is one of them's up to a billion, the other one's, you know, knocking on the door of a billion? Like, who gets the money when those two get divorced, or does anybody get the money? And then who does Kim go on to, and who does Kanye West go on to in terms of a sexual partner? Because I wouldn't want to be the next guy to fill Kanye's Yeezys when I came into the Kardashian home. I think that's what he calls his shoes, right? Yeah, I got the hip guys in the room. I'm just saying, would you want to be the next guy to have sex with Kim Kardashian? Because I feel like Kanye West, for all his faults, has got to be a sexual machine in the bedroom. Because he's nuts, and he's probably overhydrating, and he's probably looking at himself in the mirror, and he's probably got his... He probably fucks to his own music. I bet he's got that Gold Digger song on while he's plowing Kim Kardashian. And I couldn't compete with that. I haven't invented. I'd be wearing, like, Van slip-ons. I put my stand-up special on, or maybe an episode of The Man Show. I'd turn up like Seals and Crofts. Summer wind makes me... Are you fine? Going through, blowing through the jet. Yeah. You're looking for something? Yeah. So, Kanye, I don't feel like people get up on clock towers anymore with hunting rifles and go berserk, but whatever the version of that is for Kanye, I fear it's coming soon. And if I were him, I would hire Dr. Drew, and I would do that move that guys used to do with super important attaché cases in the 70s where they would handcuff themselves to the attaché case. So I would hire Dr. Drew, and I would literally just handcuff myself to him. And everywhere I went, Dr. Drew would go with me. And I did that for 10 years. It's no picnic. But Kanye's going to run for president, and he's going to run under the birthday party. Did you guys know that? It's not, he's not an independent, he's not a Republican or a Democrat, and he's not a Green Party, he's a birthday party. Which, I don't know, maybe I should run under the pinata party? Are pinatas illegal yet? I feel like we outlawed lawn darts 34 years ago, but hanging a paper mache donkey, blindfolding a kid, handing him a mop handle, spinning him around till he's disoriented, and having him run at the donkey, swinging the mop handle around while a group of kids circle the donkey, that's still perfectly acceptable in 2020. And should we, you know, we do, you know, we, you know, kids, we disorient them, you know, we go like, let's do that thing where you spin you around, we spin you around, and then you try to hit a softball, or we spin you around, and then we blindfold you, and we try to hit the donkey. Isn't that just preparing them to be alcoholics? Like, don't, isn't that just pre-alcoholism? Like, don't you guys remember laying on your bed and having the bed spinning around when you were 22? And I think this spinning around is really just pre-alcoholic. And I'll bet you, if you spin around a kid and you say to him, how do you feel? And he goes, oh man, I feel tired. I think I gotta sit down. That kid's not going to have a problem with booze. But if you spin a kid around and stop him and go, how do you feel? And he goes, who needs a blowjob? You'd go, you stay away from the sauce, Junior. All right, I want to, one more quick 15-second spot here. J.B. Weld, I hope you proud Texans are using J.B. Weld. Epoxy adhesive, it's a brand used by pros and DIYers, trusted for over 50 years, available at jbweld.com and retailers everywhere. I want to thank you guys for coming out tonight and being a great audience. I want to thank Dawson and Gina Grad and Bald Brian and Jael Coven for joining us tonight. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can get Adam's book now. I'm your emotional support animal. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.